I want to do just a little quick Bible study to get started tonight. It says there in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that we're justified by faith. And a way to think of that word justified as to what it means is to think of it like this, that when a person is justified, they are made just as if they'd never sinned. Just as if they'd never sinned, just as if they'd never broken one of God's commandments, just as if they'd never done anything wrong, just as if they were a pure little baby that had not reached the age of accountability yet, not known the difference between right and wrong, just as if God made us that way. And so we are justified by faith. By faith. It's not by what we do. We can't be good. As I mentioned this morning, we can try all we want to better ourselves, but we will fail. But we're justified by faith, not by works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're justified by faith, and because we are, we have peace with God. Now what that verse, what it implies, and what you got to think about is before you were saved, you were at war with God. You were God's enemy. Everything that God stood for, we stood against. God was for right, we were for wrong. God was for righteousness, we were for unrighteousness. God was for good, we were for evil. We were on the opposite side. We were on a different team. We were opposed to God, just like Satan, or just like God in the Garden of Eden, when he said, look, when he was talking to Satan and when he was cursing Satan, he says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And he was talking about Jesus way back in the Garden of Eden. He said, God said, he's going to crush your head. You're going to bruise his heel, but Satan, you're going to lose. You're going to be enemies. And that's we were on Satan's side. We were enemies with God, but because we've been justified by faith, now we can have peace. Now we're on the same side. Now we're on the same team. Just like he's for good, so are we. Just like he's for righteousness, so are we. Just like he's for right, so are we. And I'm glad that I can be on the same team that God is, not because of anything that I've done, but because of what he's done for me. You know, when I was a kid, we would play baseball, and two guys would become the captains. And they would throw the bat to see which one would, catch it. You know what I'm talking about. One of them would catch it, then they put their hands on top of the other, see who got their hand closest to the top. And the one that got their hand closest to the top got to pick first. And so one captain would pick one person, and then the next captain would pick another person, and so on and so on. I never wanted to be the last person picked. You know, that meant that you weren't very good, that nobody wanted you on their team. I'm glad that God picked me before I was born. I'm glad that God wanted me on his team before I was born, before the creation of the world. He made a plan and a way for me to get on his team, and that way was through Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad that we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. But it doesn't stop there. In verse 2 it says, by whom also, and by whom is talking about Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Not only are we justified, not only do we have peace with God, but through Jesus I have access into God's grace. Now, the way to think about grace is to think about the letters and the word and think of it this way. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches. So not only am I justified, not only am I on the same team that God is, man, everything that God has, all his goodness is available to me through faith. You've often heard me say there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And we were all shown mercy that God let us live long enough to get saved. We were all shown mercy that God didn't send us to hell the first sin that we committed. He didn't give us what we deserved. So that's mercy. But grace is good too. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is getting all the good things that God has. And again, we don't deserve them, but he gives them to us anyway. And there's that verse in James chapter 1, verse 17, where the Bible says, every good and every perfect gift that we have in our life cometh down from the Father above. And you just think for a moment, about the good and perfect gifts that you have in your life. Had a lot of little babies in the congregation this morning. That's a good and perfect gift. Want you to know something? It comes from God. You doting grandmothers and doting great-grandmothers and grandfathers, that little one that you love so much, you understand, was a gift from Almighty God. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Everything good comes from Him. So we rejoice in that. We rejoice, it says in verse 2 there, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to get to see His glory. I'm going to rejoice in the hope that I'm going to see the glory of God. And Moses one time said, God, I'd like to see you. I mean, I'm leading your people to the promised land. I'd like to see you. You remember what God said? Nobody can see my face and live, Moses. Tell you what, there's a rock up here where I am, and I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and I'll make my backsides pass before you, and I'll let you see that. And you go back and you read that in the book of Exodus, Moses had a Pentecostal fit when he saw the backside of God. I mean, the glory of God is so great that even just seeing the backside of it caused this man of God, this great leader, not a greater prophet than Moses, the Bible says, to have a fit rejoicing over how good God is. And when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see His glory in full splendor. Fanny Crosby, that blind hymn writer, wrote that song, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. And she was looking, she was blind, but she was looking forward to heaven. When she said, hey, now I see through a veil darkly, but then face to face, that veil's going to be lifted and we're going to get to see Jesus as He is. And she said, I can't wait till that day. And that's what this verse is saying. We rejoice in hope that we're going to get to see His glory. Okay, let me catch up to my notes here. Okay, but our glory doesn't stop there. In verse 3, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Becca set me up for this. We glory in tribulations. When tribulations come, when trouble comes, when trials come, we glory in that too. We're glad when we're little that bees sting us. I didn't understand everything she said, but I think I understood enough to know that she counted it as a blessing that she got stung by that little bee. Most of us adults will say that's not a blessing. It hurt. It stung. We didn't like it much. If we could choose to make it different, we would. I mean, we'd kill that bee before it got to us. But that's what this verse is saying. That not only are we going to glory in the hope that one day we'll get to see the glory of God, I'm going to glory in the troubles that God sends into my life. And here's why I'm going to glory, and here's the point of my message tonight. I'm going to glory because I know God is trying to teach me something. Because those verses say, we're going to glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. How can I learn to trust God more? I learn that in the tribulations that He sends into my life. I've heard people pray when troubles come. God, just help me to get through this. Just help me to hang on, because I know it's going to end. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And they pray, I know I'm in the midnight hour now. You sent these troubles into my life, and I'm going to clench my fists and grit my teeth, you know, sort of like you do when you... Well, I don't guess you grit your teeth when you go to the dentist, but, you know, like when you were little and you were about to get a shot, you sort of clench your fist and grit your teeth and say, okay, hurry up, I'll be glad when this is over. That's what we do when trouble comes. We say, just get me through it. And that's the wrong thing to pray. What we ought to pray is, God, I know you got a purpose in this. I know you got a reason for sending this trial into my life. Help me to see what it is and to learn what you want me to learn. Now, tonight, I want to illustrate some things that God wants us to learn in tribulation. And Brother Leonard, I would like you to stop and get Evan and come up here and help me, would you? I think Evan's going to be young enough. He can illustrate. And Candy, by the way, I borrowed your soccer ball. Okay. Hey, Evan, would you come with Grandpa? Up over Grandpa and help me? Please? Ryan, would you help him? No. All right, Jeff, would you? Jeff is probably too old. She's not gonna work, but I'm going to try. You just stand right here. Grandpa, you stand right beside her. Okay? I'm going to illustrate this first, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I almost illustrated it. You notice Jeff waited until the last minute to try to catch it. I'm seeing there. It was natural for Brother Leonard to just grab that ball. Jenna, I'm not going to throw it again because you know what I'm trying to do. Okay, you go back and sit down with your grandpa and set. You can just sit right here, Grandpa. Now, trouble comes into our life. We pray and say, God, I need help. I need help. Here's what I need. And we tell God what we think we need. And God gives us what we need. What he wants us to learn when he gives us what we need is thanks. He wants us to be grateful. He wants us to recognize what he's done for us. He wants us to recognize that he's answered our prayer. And he wants it to become a natural reaction in our life to say thanks. Now, just like Jesse Johnson, and she's a girl, and so she hasn't played baseball as much as others. And so when that ball came at her, I didn't tell her I was going to throw it. I just threw it. She reached for it, but it was the very last minute. Whereas Brother Leonard, you know, he played baseball. And when I threw it to him, there was no meditation. He caught it. That's how God wants our gratitude to be. Brother Leonard, stand up here again. Okay? So when troubles come into Brother Leonard's life, and he asks God for something. And we'll just use this for illustration. Just say trouble comes and you need a dollar. Say, trouble has come and I need a dollar. Thank you. Okay, a one in luck. I asked God for a dollar. He gave me a dollar. I'm going to say thank you. And that's what God wants us to learn. When he sends trouble into our life and he gives us exactly what we asked for, he wants you to become like a natural reaction. Just like catching a ball and somebody throws it to you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Astronomical. You know, dollar. Thank you. Well, see, it was a little bit quicker that time, wasn't it? He didn't have to think about it. You know, dollar. Huh? You know, dollar. Okay, sorry. And so, now you want to come up here, don't you, Evan? So, here's what happens. When trouble comes, and we ask God for something, and he gives us exactly what we ask for, what he wants us to learn is to say thank you. And he wants it to be so natural that we don't have to think about it. It's just like, again, like catching that ball. Hey, God, you answered my prayer. Thank you. You gave me what I wanted and what I needed. Thank you. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to reason it out in my mind. It just comes naturally off my lips. Thank you, God. Thank you. So when trouble comes and God gives us exactly what we ask for, we ought to say thank you. All right? There's something else. The second thing he wants us to learn. Ask again.
Another dollar. Whoa. Thank you, Lord.
What'd you get?
A 10.
A 10. Now, he said thank you. That's sit down, Bill. So here's my second point. He needed some. He asked God for it. All the times before, God gave him exactly what he asked for, what God was trying to teach him, what God wanted him to learn in this time of trial and tribulation is to say thank you. Now, this time, God gave him more than he asked for. And what God is trying to teach us when he does that is awe. He wants us to say, man, I only asked for a dollar. You gave me 10. What a great God you are. What a wonderful God you are. I just can't believe it. I only asked for a dollar, and you gave me 10. Man, you are such a good God. It's like Candy was testifying a moment ago about her salvation. We get something from God that is so far beyond what we think, what we can think that he can do, so far beyond what we ask for. We just don't get over it. I mean, when something like that, we have, Brother Clint, you know what happened? I asked God for a dollar. You won't believe it. He gave me 10. Earl, isn't God so good? I mean, I only asked for a dollar. He gave me 10. And we stand in awe of God and we say, man, is he good. He sure is good to me. And when God does that to us, and by the way, he's done it to every single person in this room, whether you want to admit it or not, God has given you things beyond what you could think or ask. And what he wants us to learn is we got a good God. And we stand in awe of him. Now, one more thing. Tribulation comes. Brother Leonard needs a dollar. This happens. See, now God's pockets never get empty, but mine are empty. That's my lunch money for the week, by the way, Brother Leonard. But here's what happens. God doesn't come through. He doesn't give us what we asked for. I mean, before he's given us everything we asked for. And sometimes he's even given us more than we asked for. But sometimes God doesn't give us anything that we asked for. And what he wants us to learn in those situations is that just being close to him is good enough. Just having him as our God is good enough. Remember when Moses was talking to God one time and God said, you guys have been so bad, I'm not going to go before you to the promised land. I'm going to send one of my angels. He'll lead you in. And Moses said, no, no, no. If you're not going, we're not going. What are the people going to think? You're the one that's brought us out of Egypt. If you don't go with us, what are they going to think? We're not going unless you're going to go. Because we want to be close to you. Doesn't matter if you send manna. Doesn't matter if you send water. Doesn't matter if you feed us. Now, this is what God wanted them to get to. They never got to this point. But this is what God was trying to teach them. What God tries to teach us when he doesn't give us anything when we pray. What God wants us to learn is, it doesn't matter if he gives us what we think we need. It doesn't matter if he gives us more than we think we need. The point he wants us to come to is just having him for our God is good enough. If I can just be with him, that's good enough. I don't need this stuff I'm asking for as long as I'm with him, because he's going to take care of me. I don't even need him to bless me beyond what I can think or ask, because just being with him is good enough. It's good enough. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Really, thank you. And so, when tribulations come, don't clench your fist and grit your teeth and say, God, help me to get through this. He doesn't want you to get through it. He wants you to grow through it. Help me to learn. Here's what we ought to pray. Help me to learn what you want me to learn. If it's to be thankful, if it's to stand in awe, if it's just to rest in your presence knowing that that's good enough, then help me to learn that lesson. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessed truth that comes from this book as we've discovered again over the past 3 months or so as we've read through it. It's a timeless book and it's never exhausted. It's so full of promises that you have for us. And I pray tonight that we'd take this truth and we'd make it ours, that we'd apply it to our life, knowing that there's going to be times when tribulations come, but also knowing that you're a God that sends those things into our life with thought, with care, and with a purpose, because you're trying to teach us something. And I pray tonight that we would learn the things that you want us to learn when those times come. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide for Jesus. I think everybody's saved, but you know our hearts. And so I pray you'd help us examine our hearts and make sure we're right with you. And then I pray for the Christians that if the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we'd be obedient to what he tells us to do. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.